thank you everyone for coming to the session. I'm sure you guys had made other choices, and thanks for choosing our session. This is a topic that's pretty, you know, talked about. We do talk about HIV. We do talk about what are the risk factors. What I'm going to talk about today is that it's a research that I'm doing with Dr. Madhulekha Bhattacharya. She works in the National Institute of Health and Family Welfare, New Delhi, India. Unfortunately, she could not be here. She could not be present here, and I'll be making a presentation on her behalf. We're trying to assess the risk behaviors for HIV/AIDS among migrant population. New Delhi being the capital, and not only in New Delhi, a majority of the Indian urban cities do attract a lot of people from neighboring villages or poor states. And this is where it becomes a huge problem because they're not documented, they don't have access to healthcare services. What are the challenges? How do we assess their risk behaviors? What kind of practices, social entertainment, and other health risk behavior factors do these people get involved in? And what are some of the recommendations that we can provide? It's a pilot study that we have started in India, and we do plan to, you know, multiply or, you know, take the study to other cities and states. But I'll walk you guys through what the study is about. I would like to mention here that there are no relationships to disclose. We are going to mainly concentrate on the male migrant population because it's usually, given the social structure in India, it's the male population that migrates to another city or a capital or a more urban place, mainly for in search of livelihood or, you know, to have a better earning capacity and come back to the villages. We also want to determine what's the pattern and role of social networking. In today's time and age, where India is a growing economy, there is accessibility to a lot of other social networking materials and, you know, opportunities as compared to a couple of decades back. We also will examine the addictions and risk behaviors and knowledge about HIV and AIDS and STDs among this population, present some treatment-seeking behavior among migrant population, and suggest some intervention measures for reducing high-risk behavior in context of HIV/AIDS and sexually transmitted diseases among male migrants. One of the things that's unique about the study is that we usually try to work with, when people work with HIV or AIDS population, we try to focus on treatment, we try to focus on providing them medicines, working with their family. But this, the basic aim of the study is to understand what's the risk behavior. How can we combat this problem before it multiplies? What can the resources be provided to this population? Another thing that's also complicated when we talk about infectious diseases is that we try to focus more on HIV and AIDS. And STIs are another dangerous group of diseases that do get neglected because HIV and AIDS tends to receive a lot of attention. And these are some of the things that are very common in this group of population. This slide will walk you guys slightly about what our methodology was. A study population mainly comprised of male internal migrants. The study unit was industrial area on the east side of Delhi, that's the capital of India. The sample size was 400 migrants who had a period of residence between 1 to 5 years. One other challenge when you work with a migrant population is that they do not stay at one place, and if you want to do a follow-up study, you might not find the same sample, the same number of people, the same group of people. If you want to plan any intervention or do something for this group of people, this is an added challenge to this problem. And the sampling, we did a systematic random sampling to recruit people in our study. There was interview schedule, there were some focus group discussions, and some of the medical records that were available with the migrants, not for all of them, because as I mentioned earlier, in India we have something called a ration card, which, you know, certifies that you are from this city or this region, and that's a government provided document that people use to access healthcare or available services. Since they are migrant people, they do not have a residence or a proof of residence to the place they have migrated to, and that becomes a challenge when we are working with medical records. The data was cleaned and synchronized. Statistical analysis was done using chi-square and odds ratio, and the geographical information system was used to depict the migrant workers as per the district of their origin. Migrant workers usually, as I mentioned at the start of my presentation, they come to urban areas, you know, to have a better earning capacity or a better livelihood. And once they are away from their family, they have access to a little bit better, you know, earning power, and they do get into the habit of alcohol, chewing tobacco and smoking. That's a different set of research question, what happens to their health status from these habits. But as you can see on the slide, 56.1% ended up using alcohol. There is a high percentage of population that uses tobacco, and even the smoking rates are higher in this group of population. They're also involved in drug abuse through nasal route and also through IV route. There is also this new thing that goes on in urban areas, is to go to video parlors and watch pornography movies, and that has been increasing in this group of population. And the television emerged as one of the most common mode of recreation among this population, which is very common among overall in Indian population as well. Other modes of recreation were cinema, video parlor, magazines, sex for money and gambling. This graph will walk you through what's the distribution of the migrant population by educational status and mode of recreation. And you will see that most of them have hardly completed their 10th grade, which would be considered as lower than high school level compared to US standards. And beyond 10th standard, which would be like, you know, after high school, like little less than high school, there is a very small group of population that would have finished that. And majority of them, if you look, the main source of recreation is watching TV. And then the next is a cinema and video parlor. If we look at what's the knowledge and attitude of this population towards HIV and AIDS, nearly three quarters of the migrants, around 73%, they have heard about AIDS. 51% have knowledge about AIDS, and about 50% had no knowledge about AIDS as well. This becomes risky in a country like India, which is suffering from a pretty high level of AIDS and HIV epidemic. It becomes when I say it's dangerous and challenging, is the sense one of the challenges is knowing that you have a problem and you work with, you know, to rectify the problem and find a solution. When majority of your population, in this case the migrant population, does not even have knowledge that they might be susceptible to HIV or sexually transmitted diseases, seeking care or, you know, getting treated or getting tested becomes even more challenging for them. This is about distribution of migrants by knowledge and misconception regarding transmission of AIDS. Many of them say that, you know, sharing needles, infected pregnant women to child, receiving untested blood, homosexual acts and others are some of the things. And most of them have pretty good knowledge about what AIDS is. Reasons stated by migrants for not using condom to the last visit to the commercial sex workers. CSW is commercial sex workers. This is another risky behavior that the migrant population gets usually involved in, because they're away from the family, they do have earning capacity, and these kinds of resources are pretty easily available or accessible in urban areas where compared to their, you know, place of origin or in the rural areas. And one of the reasons, the top reasons stated why people not using condom in their last visit, what they don't like to use it. And even this is where we have to, I think, as the public health professionals, the role of education or working with HIV population comes into being, that this is where we can make a difference and educate them that, you know, not liking or having a preference can have serious health effects. This is the percentage distribution of migrants reporting STD symptoms in the last 1 year recall. You will see that many of them have, they have been identified as STDs, but then most of them would not know. They would think that it's a general symptom and something that they need to get cured, or some of the times they just ignore it. But you see, there are a good percentage of people that do not know whether there is one of those symptoms, whether there are any of those related to STD or not. And these things become a concern, because if a majority of your population does not even know that they're suffering from something, they go back to their villages, they go back to their place of origin, and the spread of HIV as well as STDs becomes even more riskier. We asked them in the interviews and in the surveys, what are the treatment-seeking behavior. Majority of the migrant workers use allopathic, or what is called as the Western system of medicine in India. A majority of the practitioners consulted private practitioners, as I mentioned, because they don't have ration card, they're not registered. Getting access and treatment at government facilities becomes a very nightmare issue for them. And usually private practices in India, you can pay and receive services. So as you see, most of them have consulted private practitioners. only 3.7% of migrants had ever had any counseling for HIV or AIDS. So we can see that when this is a population, a high-risk population, a population not only that will suffer themselves, but they also are a risk population for spreading the infection, and only 4% of them ever had any counseling about what is HIV or what is STD and what are the precautions they could use. And only 5.2% of the migrants have ever heard of the voluntary counseling and testing centers. These are a few things that many agencies and governments also put into place, that, you know, at least let us have voluntary counseling and treatment centers where people can go and get tested, people can go and receive counseling. Many people don't know about it. This is where the role of public health and the next generation of public health professionals comes into being. So our conclusions are that there is weak socioeconomic background, being unemployed, being young, and lack of proper family life are some of the characteristics of the migrant population. They are the risk-taking behaviors are peer pressure, low-level knowledge of HIV and AIDS, seeking treatment from private sources, and not accessing government services. And some of the ways we can strengthen behavioral change is behavior change communications, services, and promoting safe sexual behavior. These are some of the suggestions that our team has, that, you know, policy and program for general welfare, broad-based approach for migrants, literacy programs for migrant population, and even I'm in academic profession right now, but I very strongly believe that rather than educating these people about what is 2x2 or, you know, what is a multiple and what is a division, I think it's very important at this stage if we can involve these people in health education or health-changing behavior educational programs rather than teaching them how to add and multiply and read a newspaper. There also should be enhanced targeted activities. Once we find out where these people are, what kind of risky behaviors they involve in, accordingly you can design and implement your interventions, promote the use of condom use, and, you know, workplace interventions through behavioral change capacity. And these kind of programs will not only bring about change in their behavior, but also spread the knowledge when they go back to their origin, place of origin, that this could be a risky behavior, and the next group of people also migrating can be educated. In lieu of time, I would like to stop here, but I would be open if you have any questions, suggestions, and any feedback for our research, and I'll be available after the session if you have any further questions. Thanks for your time, and I appreciate your attention.